Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And today, I have a simple question. We don't really talk that much about collectible card games, do we?
Not very often.
No. So, I was thinking that, you know how D&D seems to be pretty much untouchable? Back when the gaming industry crashed and we had lost a bunch of game stores and whatnot, this was in the late 80s to early 90s, a bunch of games went under and it was hard times, but D&D just kept rolling. I mean, TSR went under,
yeah,
but they got picked up by Wizards of the Coast or whatever.
Coast, yeah.
And put out 3 and then 3.5 and 4 and now 5, and they just keep rolling along. Even though we're losing game stores and whatnot, D&D just keeps adapting. And I see much the same with Magic the Gathering when it comes to collectible card games. We've had games come and go, big name card games that were, you know, Star Trek, and there was even a D&D game. I don't remember the name of it. I had a lot of cards in it too, by the way.
I know, but it was terrible.
It wasn't the best. Right.
It was absolutely horrible.
But
I still have some of the cards.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
World of Darkness, they put out a couple different games.
Vampire the Masquerade and Rage and a couple others.
Yeah. And the Vampire game has come out again, but those both, you know, those all went under. Lots of different games have gone under, but Magic the Gathering just keeps rolling along.
Right.
And what made me think that they're maybe basically too big to fail, not only are they backed by Hasbro, you know, they're under, you know, Wizards of the Coast, but Wizards of the Coast is owned by Hasbro, and Hasbro's not going anywhere. They've got themselves entrenched not only in pretty much every game store out there. They're online. They've got Magic Gathering Arena, basically the Hearthstone of card games. You know, they're just as good, just as big as Hearthstone anyway.
Hearthstone was based around Magic the Gathering.
Sure, sure. Simplified, but sure.
Yeah.
But not only that, they're in Target. You can get them on Amazon. Wizards of the Coast has made a big point of not just putting their games, you know, Magic the Gathering, not just locking it to the game stores, which a lot of other card games did. They tried to, you know, tie themselves there to where, oh, people will play on the games at the game stores, and that'll bring them back to buy boosters. And when the game stores started going under, they took those games with them. Not so with Magic.
Well, Magic has been called gamer's crack for a long time.
Yeah.
And for a good reason, because it has the same addictive kind of nature. And as a drug dealer, are you going to just sell your product on one particular corner, or are you going to sell it in as many locations as possible?
They're going to diversify.
They're going to diversify. They're going to spread out. They're going to get as many areas as they can covered.
Sure. But you would think other game companies would try to do the same thing.
They have. They just don't have the same quality IP that Magic has.
Right.
They've got a built-in player base. They've got an ongoing fan base. As long as they don't, you know, have a major fuck up, they should be fine.
Yeah. And that's the weird thing is that we've talked about it since late 2017 or whatever it was. It's been over a year where we've reported on problems tangentially connected to Magic the Gathering with their old judges program.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of bad press. And that sort of thing would have crippled a bunch of games. But Magic the Gathering just, they just, Wizards of the Coast just rolled it off their shoulders. Ain't no thing. They just kept on going, kept on moving. And the thing is, the IP was brand new, what, 25, 27 years ago? And I think they're about maybe 25, 26 years when it started out. And nobody knew it, but it just caught on. And they have not only just stuck with that story, they've diversified the story, made it richer. And it's to the point where I feel lost when it comes to Magic the Gathering. And when I go into a store, I wouldn't know what to buy, you know?
Uh-huh.
But new people coming in just want to play the games, they can go, give me, you know, a couple decks of the 2020 edition, and you know what boosters are, you know, tournament legal. Oh, these and these. Okay, cool. Give me some boosters of those. Bam, I've got a, you know, I can cobble together a deck, yeah, and get to work. It used to be that you felt like you had to buy cards. I've got thousands of old cards. None of them are legal. You can use them in Pauper, which is not even an official type of gameplay, I don't think, but it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's where you can play, all you play is with commons, and all editions are legal. So that sounds like fun, but it isn't so much about, oh, you have to buy thousands and thousands of cards anymore. You can get some focused decks, buy some boosters that are legal for that grouping, and just cycle out. When one of the additions is no longer tournament legal, you remove those cards and buy in the new ones and adjust your deck as necessary. So you can keep maybe a few hundred or a thousand or so cards cycling in your legal tournament deck or legal tournament set, where you can build a few decks out of it.
All right.
Maybe buy some specific cards if you really want to be super competitive. There you go. And otherwise, you're trading or selling off the old cards to people who are, you know, just want those cards. Or maybe you can, you know, burn the commons for fun. I don't know. But
well, one of the things they did was they made the card collectible part of it worthwhile. Because most of the other games, there were cards that were, you know, valuable. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the cards, you really couldn't see why this card was worth anything. You know, you just technically, you know, game-wise, it just, there was no point for it being as, you know, enamored or as, you know, this is, you know, on a pedestal. This is like the be-all, end-all card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Magic the Gathering had a lot of cards that were supposed to be, you know, these ultra-rare, you know, awesome cards, and they didn't make any sense as to why they'd be that way. But whereas with Magic the Gathering, a lot of the cards, you know, especially things like, you know, the Mox artifacts and the Black Lotus.
Yeah.
There's a reason they're so valuable. They're the reason that people will pay ungodly amounts of money for them.
Well, also, Wizards of the Coast made a commitment to their collectors early on and said, hey, these certain cards that are on the never print again list, we guarantee that we will never reprint them again, which will keep their value high. And that really pushed the collectible market for those Moxes and Black Lotuses and whatnot. So, yeah, the game maybe isn't as collectible as it used to be. Maybe the market for it isn't quite there, but there's still some hardcore collectors that are there getting the ultra rares and whatnot every single edition, making sure their collection is kept up to date.
Do you remember what that one lady did? Spent a good portion of her inheritance just to fulfill a couple different expansions.
Yeah.
Got all the cards in them.
Yeah, she made sure she had them all.
By the time she was done, her collection wasn't worth what she'd put into it.
Nope. Well, yeah, that was the same one that we, when role-playing with her, we ended up throwing her laptop into the ocean. So, you know, she didn't make the best choices, either in-game or in real life. She could have bought a nice house. But boy, she had a couple binders full of rares. Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, you can look at those. Ooh.
Because I had, you know, a few rares from the Antiquities set.
Mm-hmm.
I traded her, you know, one rare for like three or four rares that she had multiples of.
Again.
So it worked out for both of us.
Didn't make the best life choices sometimes.
Yeah, well.
Regardless, yeah. Really getting back on point, it really does feel like if the collectible card market were to crash right now, sure, you've got some big games mostly run by Wizards of the Coast, like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! And whatnot. I could see them failing, but you might see a slowdown with editions coming out for Magic the Gathering. But I think it would just keep rolling along.
Probably.
Because, I mean, there's such a player base for it. And when people think collectible card games, they think Magic the Gathering as a general rule. It was the game that started it all. Just like when people think, you know, I should say people that aren't so much into role playing, when they hear role playing, if they think of anything, they think Dungeons and Dragons. It's basically the same thing for collectible card games and Magic the Gathering. Now, I could be wrong on that, obviously, and if anyone out there would like to debate the point, I'll be happy to discuss it with you. You think Magic is, oh, it's on the edge of failing. Oh, man, they've over, you know, and that overreach. Maybe that is a point. Maybe they have gone too far, put too much into it, and maybe they've diluted their brand by all these different additions.
You mean like the Stranger Things set?
For Magic the Gathering?
Oh, no, for D&D.
No, I'm talking Magic the Gathering. They have so many different additions. You know, so many different expansions and whatnot that maybe they've gone too far, but at the same time, they curl back. And they've returned to Ravnica a few times now. And they're returning to other things. Going back to these other planes. Building back on the stories that they wrote a decade or so before. And basically shoring up and building their brand even more.
Some would say instead of, you know, rebuilding their brand, they're just going back to the well one more time.
Sure. You could certainly argue that. I mean, how many times have they gone back to Ravnica?
It's like the third or fourth time.
I mean, how is that a really special setting?
Apparently, it's pretty awesome.
Apparently, people like it a lot. And that's the thing. They can tell how many, you know, sets, you know, whether it's selling well or not. And the ones that aren't selling well, they can just go, okay, cool, and let that one slide. Maybe the next one will be what good. Or they can roll back to one that previously did well. I don't remember where I heard it, but somebody was talking about there's, I mean, it's a rumor, obviously, no substantiation, that maybe they'll look to going back to Ice Age.
Yeah, but Ice Age really didn't have anything that just jumped right out and said, this is, you know, awesome, this is amazing.
What it had, though, was a good story. And that's what they, when they roll back to a previous one, they usually are building on story. And remember, they're also tying this into their D&D for 5th edition. Oh, they've got a Ravnica book out. And
yeah, Master's Guide to Ravnica.
Yeah, and they're going to be doing more with Magic the Gathering, curling that back around to D&D, which again brings people from D&D, which, let's be honest, biggest role-playing game in the world, again, bar none. It has taken Pathfinder and went, oh, I'm sorry, you're on my throne. Piff! Shoved them to the side. And now you've got people that maybe they came, they watch Stranger Things, they watch, you know, they go and get involved with D&D because, oh, that looked like fun. Something I always wanted to try. And now, because they heard about this Ravnica book, now maybe they go and try some Magic Gathering.
Well, that's their ultimate goal, but will it work?
I don't know. Personally, I haven't gotten the Ravnica book.
Well, neither have I, because it's not a setting that I want to play in.
Yeah.
I'd rather homebrew my own setting.
Yep.
Not that that's better or worse. That's just a personal preference.
True. But anyway, I've gotten off track. If anybody up there is interested in discussing this, please feel free to leave a comment. Maybe we can have you on the show and we can debate it live if you like. Or
fuck it, do it live.
Post your comments and I'll be happy to bring them up on a future show. And if you make a good point, I'll be happy to admit I'm wrong. I'm not, but if you can show where I am, sure. I'll go with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Really? I promise. Anywho, do you have any other thoughts on that topic?
No. I don't believe in too big to fail, but it's going to take a lot to take it down.
Sure. I mean, if all the game stores went away, like I said, they've still got Amazon. They've still got Target.
Oh, they just started.
They're in Walmart.
Convenience stores.
Yeah. They're everywhere. Go to a
gas station, there's packs of Magic the Gathering cards.
Yeah. So it's going to take one, probably a full depression for them to go away. Anyway, on a lighter note, just wanted to mention to folks, if you listen to my show, Roleplay Domain, last week I talked about this. The Shrewsbury Renaissance Fair is coming up this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the first fair Ten and I ever attended. I think it was probably the first one you ever attended.
No, I think
Canterbury.
Yeah.
Still, you've been to Shrewsbury.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty big. It's pretty awesome. And their 24th annual fair is coming up this weekend in Kings Valley, Oregon. So if you're interested in going to a really awesome, well-established fair in the Oregon area, go to shrewfair.com or just Google Shrewsbury Renaissance Fair, and you'll find their website with all the information you need. But one of the big draws for them this year is, again, they have Knights of Mayhem as their jousting act.
Yeah. Those are the ones who've been coming to it for the past so many years.
No, that used to be Imperial
Oh, the Imperial Knights, right.
Imperial Knights. They're at Canterbury now. But now Knights of Mayhem are run by a guy who's trying to start a professional jousting league. And he goes up and down the West Coast with his troop doing exhibitions.
That would be an interesting sport.
Yeah.
And I know I did a reality show based around trying to make jousting a sport.
In fact, I think Knights of Mayhem have been involved in two reality shows of that type. They had Knights of Mayhem, and then there was another one that they were a part of. But, you know, they're a pretty controversial group. We went last year to see them and on their first year at Shrewsbury, but unfortunately, due to Oregon being completely on fire, we were unable to see them. They couldn't get the horses and most of their equipment there, and we only went on the first day, so we missed them. They had a few of the knights there, but they couldn't do anything, so that sucked.
Well, it's hard to joust when you don't have horses.
Yes, no war horses, no actual lances. You can't really joust. But
I guess they could have run down the track and stuck their arms out and tried to slap each other. That would have been funny.
I mean, they had their armor. That was something. Woo.
Well, they keep their armor with them.
Sure.
That's expensive stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to buy any of it. But yeah, they're supposed to be there this year, so that ought to be pretty cool. And they always have some really good other events, and it's got part of it that's in the forest, so should be nice. But anyway, this weekend's supposed to be beautiful, so it should be a good... It's not going to be like 109, not like that one year a few years ago.
Oh, that was miserable.
Yeah, I got heat exhaustion. That was no fun. But this year should be partially or mostly cloudy and cool, like in the 70s,
which is
basically perfect fair weather. You know? You're not dying of heat.
Yes.
But anyway, so I wanted to mention that because even though I've had my problems in the past with Shrewsbury for one reason or another, they're still... being the first we ever attended. They're pretty, you know, special. And I like to make sure that I advertise them well when they're coming up. So, yeah. That's the 14th and 15th of September, I believe. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So, and we still have plenty of time. So, anything else you'd like to talk about?
Nothing spectacular. I mean, yay, Guild Wars has made it 7 years.
Woohoo.
I need to knuckle down and just start, or buckle down and start getting, some things taken care of that I need to, like getting the next flying mount.
Hmm.
I haven't bothered with the living story for a while, and so now I got to get back on track and get it taken care of.
Nice.
But it definitely looks fun.
Yeah, I occasionally log in and go, oh, look, they've given me stuff, and then I log out.
Well, they've got more stuff to give you because the next year's worth of birthday gifts have been sent out.
Oh, nice.
Also, if you bought Heart of Thorns,
they're
giving you free stuff because you paid money for it, and now if you buy Path of Fire, you get Heart of Thorns for free.
Well, that's nice. Making sure you get value for your old money.
Yeah.
You don't see that very often with a game. They usually go, okay, well, if you bought it, that's fine, but now it's old. We're going to give it away for free or sell it in a bundle with other stuff, and it doesn't really matter.
Well, you get caught a lot of flack for doing that the last time when you bought Heart of Thorns, you got the core game for free. And they didn't do anything for anybody, and everybody got pissed off about it because, you know, they spent their money on it, and they wanted some kind of satisfaction for them just giving it away.
Okay. I have a word for that. Wah.
Well, You didn't hear me complaining about it. I'm just saying that's what was going on.
Look, when you buy a game and it's new, you pay the price of it. Later, a few years down the road, if they go, okay, we have a new product, a new expansion, and we're going to toss in the old game, the original game, as part of that, gee, that's fine. It's bringing in new people who weren't playing before, but now they are, which gives you people to play with, which is value for you as a player. They're paying for the expansion just like you are, but they get in. They don't have to pay for the game. Oh, no, but that gives you someone to play with. So otherwise, if they had to pay for the main game and the expansion, they might just say, nope, and now you don't have that person to play with. Ooh, value. Sorry, sometimes people make me irritated.
Sometimes?
Okay, all the time.
Yes.
But I mean especially so. It just kind of bugs me when they go, well, what about me? What about you? You got your value. You bought the game. You played the game right off the bat. I mean, they sell older expansions for Lord of the Rings Online really cheap now. Am I whining that somebody who comes into the game gets to play the main game for free because it's free to play? Then they can buy the expansions really cheap because they're old. Why would that bother me? It's somebody else to play with. And, you know, otherwise they may, if they came in and they go, oh, I got to pay $60 for this and $45 for that and $60 for that and whatever. There's been a lot of expansions. If they got to buy hundreds of dollars worth of expansions, why would they come? Why would they do that? They might just leave.
Yeah.
So who? Why would you complain about this?
These people didn't complain when the game went free to play. Yeah, the free to play players didn't get as much as the people who bought the game.
Sure.
But they still got to play with most everything else. They didn't get as many bag slots as you, and they didn't get as many character slots as you. But other than that, that was pretty much it. And nobody complained then.
Right. Because it was bringing new players into the game. Why they don't just carry that over to, hey, same thing goes with those new expansions. It entices people to come to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if they, let's say they put out another expansion, and maybe ArenaNet decides the game's already free. Maybe they include as a bundle, if you buy expansion 3, they'll give you Path of Fire and Heart of Thorns for free. Because let's say it's a couple years down the road from Path of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Why would somebody complain about that? Oh, but I had to pay $60 for the main game and $60 for Heart of Thorns and $60 or whatever for Path of Fire. And now I have to pay another $60 for this new expansion, and they only have to pay $60 for everything. Wah. Shut your whore mouth. You're a dumbass. Do you want the game to die? Because if you don't bring in new players, that's what happens to games. They die.
Oh
my God. I mean, honestly, do they really think that all the people who bought the original game are still playing?
Well, a good portion of them are, but not all of them.
But not all of them. And then are all the people that bought Heart of Thorns still playing?
Well, no, a lot of them got pissed off.
Yeah.
And that's hard content.
Even the people that played, came in with Path of Fire, are they all still playing? No. Over time, you have players walk away, like I have and other people. I may play occasionally, but it's not a usual thing for me. And there's a lot of people like me. But if another expansion came out, that might entice me to come back, at least for a while. And a lot of other people, too. How is that anyway a bad thing for other players who stuck it out through the whole game, like you? Why would you ever consider that an insult?
No, but I just thought it was nice that they were giving stuff away.
Sure, it is. It's very much so. But it's like World of Warcraft, same thing. They have the same people complaining about it. Oh, you know, I had to buy all these expansions, but now if you buy the new expansion, all the other ones are like bundled together with the main game for like $20. Yeah, and it's an MMO. Consider, if you will, EverQuest. It's got like 18 or 19 expansions. If they were to go, hey, we have a new expansion coming out, and if you want to play that, you have to buy, well, we'll give you the main game for free because it's free to play. But you got to buy all the other expansions. Who in their right mind would do that?
Well, you'd have to be a huge fan of the game, in which case you'd probably already have them.
Right. Only the people that already have bought them would come in. So it's every expansion would be diminishing returns. They would only have people that have stayed throughout, and that number gets lower and lower and lower. And that's not what having expansions come out is about. It's about building your player base. So if that means giving away expansions from years ago that you no longer can sell, why wouldn't you do that? And even give some free bonuses to players who stuck it out. Oh, great. That's great. How much does that cost you? Well, the amount of time and effort it took to develop those digital items. But otherwise, they're free.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally very little out of their pocket. Here, have a few jinglies, some baubles to make you happy, and everybody else can, you know, the new people can pay a set number to get everything, and everybody's happy. That's one thing I'll say about ArenaNet. They're very good about making everybody happy.
They try.
Yeah.
One of the cool things that you got out of your 7th year birthday presents was, I can't remember what it's called. It's something like Champions Rock.
Uh-huh.
It's a novelty toy that you can play with. But you click on it, and your character strikes a heroic pose. I mean, this little rock appears, so you can put one foot up on it and do your heroic pose.
Oh, that's cute.
And, if you want a heroic pose with a cool backdrop, you can take your screenshot and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Yeah, sounds fun. Anyway, we are now way over for the show, so we should probably wrap it up.
Okay.
Till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Billis.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at scoreme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.